Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast, episode number 172. I'm Al.
I'm Anton. And we've had quite a magical week when it comes down to podcasting. Once again, our wonderful Patreon community is ticking over and we have tons of great chats in there. And we've done a couple good podcasts this week. But outside of that, it's been quite an exciting week for us.
It has been. I mean, to be fair, it's been more exciting for our absent co-host because you may have noticed Mike is not with us again this week. That is because he's currently got his hands full nursing two baby lemurs back to full health after they were savaged by a wild haggis. So he's off doing that right now, leaving us to do the show. He's hoping to be back next week, but then he goes away on holiday for a week after that. So, you know, he may be here. We may have to come up with yet another outlandish tale to explain his absence before he returns. Hopefully properly in a more regular schedule, but he's just been a very busy chap, hasn't he, Anton?
Indeed, and my God, he's went from two to four babies in the span of 1 week. I'm scared to hear what happens next week.
Yeah, just two of them are slightly furrier than the other two, and I'm not going to say which way around that is.
Only time will tell.
Did you ask me a question before
yes,
I explained
myself? Yes, we've had quite an exciting week, haven't we?
We have, yes, because we got an unexpected Splatoon Direct in there, didn't we?
Indeed, yes. I was thinking more numbers-wise, but that was a highlight of my week.
Number-wise, yes. Well, yeah, okay, so we quite regularly track where we are in charts. We get little emails through, and we were pleasantly surprised to discover that we were at number 23 in the UK video game podcast charts this week. And I think last week we were at something like 27 or 28. We're holding our own. We're doing quite well.
Indeed, and especially in a little span here, we haven't had Mike. You know, he is a podcasting god, as we all know. So, you know, I was going for the float plane kind of idea of, you know, we might not soar when he's gone, but we hopefully won't sink. So the fact that we've done all right, I'm very chuffed about ourselves.
I know. We've also had more downloads this week than we've had in a very, very long time, because we also get the weekly number of downloads too. And yeah, for whatever reason, Mike disappears off and the show's popularity just skyrockets. I mean, make of that what you will. I'm not insinuating anything here at all. But draw your own conclusions.
Indeed, yeah. It's quite motivating, which is quite nice. And yeah, which is quite handy because we do keep ourselves busy with the Patreon, which you can learn more about at nsukp.co.uk. We do a whole bunch of rewards there, like Last Call, the prequel, and Roundup. Those are additional shows that we do. Plus Discord, you get our friend calls, we do show notes, and we do the show live as we're doing right now, which is fun.
Indeed. I've actually got anyone listening at the moment. There's nobody listening at the moment, but every so often people pop in and sort of just log in while we're recording, and I do enjoy it when people do that. I sometimes think we should involve people more in the live show, but I don't know if that'd be a good thing or a bad thing. But yeah, so there's many, many parts to becoming a Patreon, and on the N64 tier, there's also supposedly a mug that's supposed to come to you every 6 months, but I'm still arguing with the supplier, and we've still not got them, and I sent them another chaser email this week and haven't even been acknowledged, so might be demanding some money back from them shortly and come out with something entirely different to send out to everybody, because I'm getting really angry with, I'm going to name them, Awesome Merch. They are not awesome in the slightest. They are, insert own swear word here.
Yeah, not at the moment. I thought we were on the kind of nice and steady there. I thought we were looking towards the sunset, but turns out to be a devilish hell-like haze that we've somehow stumbled across. But nevertheless, on sunnier skies, what you been playing this week?
Nicely done. I was about to make exactly the same segue there. I have been doing a bit of gaming, actually, to be fair. At home, I've been mostly playing GTA. But on Saturday night, I think it might have been. Might have been Sunday. Either way, I was around at my friend Robin and Jim's, and we played a bit of Mario Kart. We played the new tracks there, and they introduced me to Jackbox Party Pack 5, which I had not played before. And I discovered is fiendishly hard. We tried doing something called You Don't Know Jack. And right enough, I don't know Jack. They have a whole load of trivia questions, but they're sort of really quite complicated ones, in as much as they refer to biblical knowledge or knowledge of the classics, in terms of, you know, like the Bronte sisters and that kind of stuff. You need to know your stuff. I do not know my stuff. Although weirdly, I did somehow win one, but I went from like very, very last to very, very, very far in front, mostly because I knew all the characters and Friends, which got me a lot of points in the last rounds. Wow. What about you? What have you played?
I'm interested in this circle you're playing games with. You know, they know the Bible and that other thing that I didn't even know what you were talking about, but don't know Friends. yeah, this week I've been doing a little bit of gaming, but it's all been one game, and that's been Sonic Lost Worlds. I completed it. That was quite fun. It's just a very solid, well-built game. It would fit right at home on Nintendo Switch, and it's a crime it's not made its way over yet, especially since they've done the Sonic Colors Ultimate Edition port. And yeah, I'm going for the achievements on that one, so I'm about 90 out of 100 achievements, so blazing through it. So hoping to be fully wrapped up this game this week and then moving on to something new and exciting.
You're a bit of a completionist sometimes, aren't you, when you feel like it?
Yeah, when I feel like it, I either go all or nothing. I'll play the game for 5 minutes or I'll play it for like a bazillion hours. There's seemingly no middle grounds.
I actually forgot I played a bit of Kirby as well, because I've been playing with my son in co-op mode on easy settings, so he and I have finally got to the same stage in his game that I'm at in my game, which is quite good fun.
So you need to put some late night binge in and to get ahead, you know, scout the route out ahead for him.
I could, but I'm enjoying GTA 5 too much, so anytime I'm playing, I'm pretty much playing that.
Where about are you vaguely?
Oh, in GTA 5, I can't even, it's been so long since I actually played the game that I couldn't tell you where I am overall, but the main character, the protagonist, have kind of all fallen out. Michael was kidnapped. I've just rescued him from the Chinese guys, and I can't remember what the next stage is. But I'm doing lots of the side missions, the side quests. I spent the last 2 days just floating around in a submarine and then bopping along the water in a dinghy rescuing bits of a submarine, doing lots of just random side bits because they're good fun.
Yeah, I found the best way with that game was to do them as they came in, and then you don't get burnt out in them, so it ends up making the game a bazillion times longer, but means you get to try out everything evenly. It's like when you're eating a meal, you know, you have a little bit of your, you know, X, you have a little bit of Y, and then you rotate around.
Or maybe you eat all at once. Spaghetti. Should we talk about some news and upcoming games? That's probably
probably
more interest to people than us talking about Alphabetti Spaghetti.
Hear me out. Let's talk about the Nintendo Switch, shall we?
Maybe. Yeah, all right, let's do a bit of that then.
Tell us that people want to know.
First up, Whisper Games have announced Squad 51 versus the Flying Saucers for the Nintendo Switch, published by Assemble Entertainment. It's a horizontal space shooter inspired by the 50s B-movies, and oh my god, it's amazing. It's coming out in quarter three in 2022, and I am so in love with this game. The aesthetic is just so cool. It looks like the airplane that you're in your side-scrolling bullet hell shooter in is like dangling on a rope and acts just like it. It is just wonderful, Anton.
Indeed. You know, initially I was kind of just expecting a little bit of shovelware, but it's been done really well. You know, I guess the B-movie in this, I was kind of expecting that to transition into the gameplay, but the gameplay looks solid. They've really gotten that tactile feel of the era just perfect. You know, there's cheapness to it, but it hasn't been done lazily. You know what I mean? It's done with a purpose, and I'm very impressed, and it's doing something unique with horizontal space shooters. There are a dime a dozen, there's tons of them. So to do something unique is outstanding, and I'm really excited to see this game come out next year, or later this year, rather.
Yeah, later this year, Q3, which is, well, technically we're, like, I think, in Q3? Maybe it starts in September. I'm pretty sure we're in Q3.
Yeah,
so
we are.
So that means it must be coming out soon! Woohoo! I don't think there's any word on the price, though, is there?
No, I think that is a delicate subject for this game, because I think they could get away with charging a bit, but not too much.
Yeah, I'd say under 20 is reasonable. Under 15, I would say grab it.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money there, Al.
Yeah, it does. It does look very, very nice. Okay, Overborder Studios have announced, I'm going to guess this is pronounced Thymesia, Cloud version of Nintendo Switch, published by Team 17. It's a dark action RPG with, basically, it's a gothic hack and slash gameplay coming out on the 8th of August for $24.99. Now, we've got a bit of a mixed history with Cloud games on the Switch. Some have been very good, some have been less than very good, Anton.
Indeed. So I think the kind of prime example of a really bad one was the Kingdom Hearts one. they did their cloud version in-house, and that's kind of where it all fell apart. We've had a couple good ones in the form of Control, and I'm trying to think, was it Hitman? And this looks to be done by the same people. And as a game, you know, it looks very impressive. It's, to be honest, I think quite an affordable price for the kind of high budget look they're going for. It kind of has the vibe of, imagine the gameplay of a Darksiders set in the world of a Bloodborne. It's not quite got enough of a hook for myself. I would definitely need to see some more of it or get some outstanding reviews for it. But overall, it looks like a very competently put together video game, and for $24.99, I think a little bit easier of a pill to swallow when it comes down to cloud versions.
I think on the whole, I probably tend to agree with you, although I did look at the trailer and think, that looks like it's running on a PS4. That looks like that could run native on the Switch. It doesn't really look like a particularly pretty game. It doesn't look like it's doing anything particularly difficult with lighting. It kind of just looked a little bit old, and I wasn't quite sure why they ended up having to do it as a cloud game. But when you put it in the context of $24.99, the game looks absolutely fine. It's just, it's a probably deliberate style choice they've gone for. It's all very grey and brown and muted and dark, I guess.
Yeah, which is a shame, because it is with those darker games where you can hide the flaws of graphical downgrades easier. So it is a little bit of a shame that it's not getting a cloud version. And overall, not exclusively, we have had some exceptional ones, such as the Control and Hitman we mentioned before. Cloud versions do seem to be a good way of just getting ports out there cheap, a la Kingdom Hearts, so it might just be a compromise on that side.
Yeah, this is very true. Next up, I'm going to have to shout this developer's name because there's an exclamation mark, or not the developer, the publisher, there's an exclamation mark at the end of the name, so I'm going to stand back and call them Panic Burrow! I think that's how you pronounce their name, Panic Burrow, with an exclamation mark. You got to shout it?
Exactly.
Yeah, they have announced Soccer Story for the Nintendo Switch, published by No More Robots. It's a 3D pixelated RPG, not to be confused with the sequel to Golf Story, which is Sports Story. This is a totally different game by a totally different publisher and a totally different developer, but kind of similar.
Indeed, and very much a very, very similar kind of formula. It is a RPG where, you know, sports is, you know, important to the world and the characters. However, it's not a sports game. Well, honestly, I feel like they're selling themselves a little bit short by calling it Soccer Story, because it instantly draws comparison to these already brilliant games, or already brilliant game in the form of Golf Story and what looks to be a great game in form of Sports Story. But overall, it's unique enough to stand on its own, and it's a shame that all of the articles I've read on this game have casted it in that shadow, because it looks fairly polished, it looks very charming, I like the aesthetic of it, the gameplay and minigames, it looks quite fun, and I'm excited to see what kind of story they can make out of that soccer context.
Yeah, I'm very smitten with it as well. I think it does just look like Golf Story, but football. But it looks like a beautiful game in and of itself, and I can see why they've called it Soccer Story. I guess they're inviting that comparison, because they knew it'd be made. It was inevitable anyway. You release an RPG, it's based around sports, people are going to compare them. You may as well just hit it head on and call your game Soccer Story. I do kind of wonder if it was the right choice. I guess it'll come down to whether the gameplay itself is as good as it looks like it might be. It certainly looks charming, it looks fun, it looks encompassing, it does some very interesting things with some pseudo-3D going on in there. There's a couple of bits in the trailer, we can see you're kicking goals in four different directions in nets, and it does do a little bit of 3D in there, so it's not entirely flat. Yeah, I have had my interest piqued. Okay, Kyle Thompson announces Islets for the Nintendo Switch, which is a cat-like hand-drawn Metroidvania coming out the 24th of August 2022, and to me, I just looked at it and went, oh, this looks like a Studio Ghibli game. It's really interesting.
Yeah, you know, I think whenever I think of hand-drawn indie games, I think of that kind of brush strokes and all that kind of stuff, like kind of that, clues as of the means, but this one's very cleanly done, and that extends both to the visual aesthetic and to the gameplay. You know, it's not looking like it's challenging the conventions of the genre, but doing it very concisely in a tidy manner. It looked very good, and there's some fairly novel items. Like there's one where you're kind of zipping across the level, which I thought was really cool. And especially for a one-man band, I am very impressed by the quality of this one. And I have a fear that it might fall under the radar for a lot of players, but I don't think there's anything bad about this title. It looks fairly robust to my eyes.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, I think they've described it themselves as Hollow Knight, but with cats. Hmm. If you're looking for a very succinct description of it. I mean, I know the character is supposed to be cats. Doesn't really look like a cat to me. I mean, I'm not going to argue too much about it, but it's an intriguing little premise. You are putting together disparate bits of a world of something to do with cloud islands that are floated apart or into the heavens or something random like that. Anyway, nice little story, quite good gameplay, and basically it's coming from Carl Thompson, who created Sheeple, which was very well received whenever that came out a couple of years ago. So, it's all positive stuff. Felix Lockel has announced Of Blades and Tales for the Nintendo Switch, published by Pineapple Works. It's a turn-based hack-and-slash RPG coming out in quarter three of next year, maybe, because they have released a Kickstarter, which is to get it onto the Switch, but as far as I'm aware, that's not actually started yet. So they've announced it, and we might have it. Can't say I'm particularly excited by it, Anton.
Yeah, this one is a very peculiar one. For one, doesn't feel like a game that would suit the Switch very well. It feels like it would suit a mouse and being able to click where everything goes. It's very much on a grid system, and it kind of has kind of RPG Maker-esque kind of dense pixelatedness to its graphics, and the kind of similar sense to a 32-bit game. Gameplay-wise, combining the hack and slash with being on a grid-based tiles, I just wonder if elements of this game are going to be at ends, and then combining those kind of hack and slash elements with it being turn-based again, I'm not too sure. It's not quite grabbing me, this one, sadly. It looks a bit complicated as well.
I very much share your scepticism. It does, when you watch the trailer and the hand moves around and clicks on different bits of the screen, it is so obviously designed for a mouse. And I think trying to use it with a control stick is just going to be so clunky. And I don't know, when I first started watching it, I went, oh, I like the way the character moves. And then a couple of seconds later, I was like, no, that's really annoying. Just the whole thing just sits uneasily with me. And I hope I'm proved wrong by that, but we'll see. I guess. Okay, Sleepy Castle has announced Flint Buckler Wakes the Sleepy Castle for the Nintendo Switch. I have just realised that this is the one that's launching on Kickstarter, and not the one I mentioned before, because this one launches on Kickstarter soon, but it's a colourful RPG inspired by Paper Mario featuring snappy combat, and it is coming out in Q4 of next year, apparently. And as we've already said for the previous game, incorrectly, it may or may not come to the Switch, if it meets its stretch goals or not on Steam. On Kickstarter.
This one, however, is one that I'm a lot more confident. One, it does feel like a game that would be at home on Nintendo Switch with its Paper Mario inspirations, but it does just look very sharp. They didn't show the most content in it. I feel like they've maybe just made a small section of the game as kind of a proof of concept, but what they've shown looks robust. And what I quite like about it is it looks a lot more concise about what it's trying to go for than, let's say, Bug Fable, which kind of felt like it was, it was Paper Mario on a little bit of a budget. This one looks like it's, of course, going to be in a budget, a Kickstarter budget, but not as tightly strung of a budget. It looks a lot more glossy, a lot more shiny, and borrowing inspiration from I was, let's say the N64 one, maybe the GameCube falls in your door, Paper Mario. I think this one could be fun, and the characters they've shown in the Sleepy Castle all look unique and colourful and quite inventive, and I would love to see what the writing and story they're going for this one, because that'll be the thing that'll hold a Paper Mario style RPG together, is if they can have these wonderful wacky characters in this bizarre world.
It does make a huge difference, you're right, and the character aesthetic they've chosen sort of reminds me of, it's not like Cuphead, but it's that same 1950s cartoon vibe in the way they've been drawn. There's just something quite charming about them. I don't know why, during the trailer, there's something kind of irked me a little bit about the combat, the fact that they kept basically headbutting each other or dunking each other on the head in sort of a weird way, and it just sat oddly. I didn't have a big problem with it. It just felt a bit clunky, and I can't explain why I felt that. There's no good reason for feeling that. It was maybe just the fact they had so many donks in close succession that it just stood out to me. But it was an odd feeling. But I do think the world they've created does look bright. It looks cheery. It looks colourful. The characters do look fun. There's obviously a lot going on. The movement through that world, though, also looked a bit clunky. I don't know if you noticed or felt that, but the way you move through a quasi 3D-ish world with sort of like a flat 2D level, but with the depth to it, it's the best description, didn't look the best to me. And maybe that's something they'll develop out. I don't know. Did you have any thoughts on that?
To be honest, it felt all right to me. I think for me, I was very much like, okay, in my head, I was comparing it to Bug Fable. And to me, it felt like a huge improvement on what was done there. And that's not to say Bug Fable was a bad game. It was a good game. So, you know, succeeding that kept me happy, but I'll maybe have a double check with fresh eyes.
Well, let us know what you think when you've done that. In the meantime, let's move on to the next game, which I think has probably got the best title of any game I've ever seen. Deepaz Studio have announced Vikings on Trampolines for the Nintendo Switch. It's a co-op brawler, and it pretty much does exactly what it says in the tin. You bounce around on trampolines and fight things. I mean, it's just the best concept for a game I've seen in ages.
Indeed. This was one when making the notes for this episode, which you can get early if you go to the Patreon, is that this was one I was kind of considering passing up on. I was just kind of glad, like, going through all the news of the week and didn't think too much of it. But clicking on it, it just looks really fun. It kind of, there is a chaotic franticness. The comedy is on point. It's just lighthearted, doesn't take itself too seriously. It looks pick up and play, but extensive enough to keep you engaged over the long haul. I'm very impressed with this one. This was a true surprise of the week, this one.
It does look really, really good fun, but at the same time, it gives me the worries, because whenever you're playing platforming games and you've got to bounce and land on specific spots, it makes me very uneasy. And I'm hoping that this one may automatically bounce from trampoline to trampoline without you having to aim specifically for it, but I don't know. I'm anxious already. Okay, let's talk about my favourite mobile game, Mario Kart Tour, because they have, they put it onto Twitter, but they also put it onto the official game as well, where they release news updates, so they're going to make some serious and significant changes to it. They say they're going to add new ways to do multiplayer, and they're removing the gold races. So you get, when you've got a gold pass, you have access to it's not really different races, it's like the 200cc versus the 150cc, is the best description I can give you. It's a little bit faster. So they're basically removing those races. They're not getting rid of gold passes. They're still keeping them. So you still get a bunch of other stuff with them. But they're getting rid of the gold races, and they're just merging them all into one. So I don't know if that means they make the standard one faster, or if they're just going to get rid of the speed of gold. I don't know what they're doing, but these are coming out in early September, and they're basically saying, watch this space, we'll give you more updates, which is generally what they do in-game anyway. I think that's quite cool. I'm quite excited.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I wonder, you know, looking at these two stories coming at once, if they're going to add just general choose your own speed section for both of them, so you can then do like whatever speed multiplayer you want, whichever space speed normal races you want. Alternatively, I was kind of thinking, because we had recently rumors of a PC port coming, but that wouldn't just be multiplayer. I'm excited to see what they do. This has been a Nintendo game that's been doing very well for them, and or mobile game that's been doing very well for Nintendo. And it's going to be interesting to see how they keep the momentum going, because I think, unlike some of the other mobile games where you can just kind of keep on adding, you know, new items, this one has a lot to grow in the gameplay department, and I'm excited to see how they adapt it in the gameplay department over the long haul, especially now that I imagine there's probably more people picking it up now who have maybe played it via the 8 booster course and being like, wow, these are actually the best courses in the booster course pack. Let's see what else is coming my way.
Well, I'll certainly let you know what comes this way, because I will definitely be playing it. Guaranteed. Up next, we've got Kirby's Dream Buffet, which is released on the 17th of August. Now, this is a weird one, because I watched the trailer for this and thought, that'd make a really good, fun, free-to-play game. Yeah. And then I discovered they're going to charge $13.49 for it. Basically, Kirby's Dream Buffet is Kirby Fall Guys.
Indeed. Yeah. You know, we kind of had, you know, a mixed response when they first announced this title. And now that they've kind of put a price on it, it's kind of left me in an odd spot where I think they're definitely charging a fair price for it. But I don't know if I'd pay it over Fall Guys. Admittedly, this does have the benefit of being having local co-op, so maybe it's a cheap party game. I could see this maybe being like, yeah, I just need a high-quality party game. You know, I trust Nintendo, get Dream Buffet. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I could maybe see myself picking this one up.
Can you? Really?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, in terms of just having a local party game, you know, kind of in the vein of Astro Bears. That's kind of the mindset I'm in. You know, just, yeah, play a video game, here's Kirby. Kirby's friendly for everyone.
Kirby is friendly for everyone. And the game does look really good, to be fair. I mean, I'm not knocking the game. I think it looks fantastic. They've got it broken down to food-themed worlds, and there's 4 rounds with 4 players, I think. So it's not quite in the same scale as Fall Guys. It seems to be a much smaller scale, which could be quite good fun. I think I agree with you, but at the same time, I still feel $13.49 is, as much as that is a very cheap game, I don't know if it's worth $13.49. I would need to play it. If I play and go, actually, you know what, this is brilliant, I might consider it. But at the moment, I'm going, yeah, I'm playing it Fall Guys instead.
Yeah, there's, as well as that, there's a lot of Kirby out there. We've got Star Allies, Allies, Forbidden Worlds, we've got Kirby Fighters, maybe one or two of them. Love Kirby, are we?
It is. It is indeed. Well, okay. We'll see what comes of that one. Let's move on to the next story, which is sadly not quite so good. We have now had a second complaint made to the National Labor Relations Board against Nintendo of America. It's alleging, the wording specifically says, it alleges that the company established coercive rules and in some way retaliated, discharged, or disciplined a worker for engaging in protected activity with the others. Now, the first one we got earlier in the year, Nintendo did come back and say, nope, that's not true. We fired this person because they leaked confidential information. This one, they have not reacted to at all. They may never react to it, may do everything entirely behind closed doors, but that's now 2 allegations in the space of a year against Nintendo of America. That's a bit worrying.
Yeah, it is an interesting one, with the former complaints being particularly about how they've handled contract workers. And, you know, overall, it seems like the experience for, like, full-time staff at Nintendo is outstanding. You know, the gaming industry generally has not been a nice place for contract workers. You know, it's an industry where all of a sudden you need a dozen concept artists to make concept artists, and then, oh, we're now just developing, we don't need as many concept artists. And then you have your couple in-house people, and then everybody else goes. And, you know, there's a lot of phases of the gaming production pipeline that you don't need people in all the time. So there is just a huge amount of contract work going on. And, you know, Nintendo is a particularly private company, so it's not hard to believe that they would maybe be a little bit harsh against contract workers.
And let's face it, it's in the States, which they've got very different labor laws to us. But I don't know how much Nintendo of America actually does. I've no idea what these rules would entail. I always got the impression Nintendo of America was more admin, marketing, distribution than development. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I was of a similar mindset. Obviously, there's Nintendo partners there in the form of Retro, but most of their development is done stateside. So I don't know if they have like in-house localization teams based there at Nintendo of America, or what that would be exactly related to. Or who knows? Maybe this is extends company wide to, you know, marketing and other kind of Nintendo of America areas. It's, you know, they're a big company. They've got a lot of moving gears.
Indeed. Well, if you're feeling a bit down after that story and you feel you need a hug, head on over to the Pokemon Center UK, because it now has a life-size, I'm going to say Lucario? Plush. Woohoo! That sounds amazing, Anton.
Indeed, and I do actually recommend there. This actually made it to general news outside of Turbo Mode, just for the fact the photos are fantastic. So go there, check out the brilliant photos. It's like a little friend, and what's amazing about it is they've actually made it stand up properly. That's a lot of quality assurance right there.
Oh dear. Okay, let's talk about Hogwarts Legacy, which everybody's been quite excited about. The game does look really, really good, but we're going to have to wait a bit longer because it's been delayed to the 10th of February on the PlayStation, Xbox and PC. And the Switch date will follow.
Yeah, it is a shame. You know, obviously we do love when they delay games rather than delivering a bad game, so it'll hopefully be for the better. And the fact that they've delayed it to just February, which, to be honest, is not a great month for games. That is not when you want to be releasing your big hitters. So that gives me a little bit of hope that, you know, they're not delaying it to, you know, next Christmas and also, you know, rush it out the door. You know, this is when they generally think the game's getting released or going to be finished, because this is not when you want to be releasing games. So it makes me confident that it'll be a quality product in there, and hopefully we don't have to wait too much longer for it on Nintendo Switch.
Fingers crossed, save your Christmas money for it and you'll be fine. Next up, SpongeBob SquarePants, or Bob Pants SquareSponge, whatever he's called. The Cosmic Shake has been, it's got a new trailer, as has actually AEW Fight Forever. But the, actually, I've watched both of them. What do you think of them, Anton?
Yes, these were unveiled during a THQ Nordic kind of showcase, surprisingly lacking Switch content this time around. They're usually quite good to us, but nevertheless, we got these. I think SpongeBob SquarePants and the multiverse of memes does look quite fun. The SpongeBob SquarePants games were really good on the GameCube and on the PS2, and they've recently remade Rehydrated, and this looks to be borrowing a lot of the engine and groundwork that they've done there and porting that over into a new title in the franchise. I'm quite charmed by it. It looks quite fun. It does look not quite current generation 3D platformer, but it looks like a really good 360 platformer with current day graphics, and I'm happy enough with that. That looks like a fun game. AEW Fight Forever did have a cringy live action part in their trailer, which made up half the trailer, which makes me feel like they're scared to show off the exact game, because the last trailer they showed none of the gameplay as well. It looks like WWE, but with a working frame rate, unlike the WWE game we've already got on Nintendo Switch.
Well, I'll start with SpongeBob as well. I think your assessment of an Xbox game with modern graphics is probably quite accurate, actually. That's a really good way of describing it, because I did watch it and go, it looks all right, but it looks dated and it's not even out. Then again, maybe it's not the finished visuals, they didn't really say. However, in the, I want to call it WWE, it's not WWE, it's the AEW Fight Forever game, they did very specifically say that this is not a finished game, these are not the finished visuals, it will get better, which is kind of encouraging, because actually, it looked pretty smooth, it looked pretty good. The game ran the way you'd want one of these things to run, and that's nice, that gives people hope. But I don't think we've got any release date on there yet, so it will be what it will be. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that we get a decent wrestling game for those people out there who love the wrestling games. The last item on here moves nicely into our next segment. So Nintendo of Europe almost leaked the Splatoon 3 Direct a day early on YouTube. How did they almost leak it, Anton?
Yeah, so traditionally with Nintendo Directs, they're not actually live. They're using a feature on YouTube called YouTube Premieres, which is you upload a full video and then you just set a time it goes live and everybody can watch the first viewing of it in time live with the comments and as a live stream, but usually it runs a little better because it's not actually streaming it and there's not any issues of, you know, Nintendo loses power and then it's not working. So usually it's YouTube Premieres and it means they can kind of send it around and get all ready to go. And yeah, it was a day before at the exact time, and then just a 10-minute countdown appeared on a YouTube premiere for Splatoon 3 Direct. And then kind of, I think after like 4 minutes, it was immediately halted. This was across, you know, the actual individual regions of Europe. So I believe it was on like the UK, the Germany, and all the kind of other kind of European Nintendo YouTube accounts. But yeah, that would have been an interesting one.
Well, thankfully, the next day we did actually get the Splatoon 3 Direct, and it was quite long. There was a lot of content in there, wasn't there? Maybe the best way to approach this is actually to run through everything, turbo mode style, and then comment on it.
That sounds wise, Al. Let's do it.
All right, I'm going to take a very deep breath because there was a lot to this. If you go back and watch the YouTube video, it's in tons and tons of little sections. There are so many sections because there was so much stuff that they showed us. Okay,
I'm taking a breath for you. I'll hold on to it.
Thank you.
I'll pass it over.
Thank you. So, they showed off the new hub world, Spatsville, in the heart of Spatsland. They showed 12 new maps. There will be more added post-launch. All the basic weapons from Splatoon 1 and 2 will be included. They showed some new weapons and some special weapons. The new weapons are now bought from Sheldon as licenses rather than currency. The Direct had a lot of focus on fashion and customization. They introduced a new Anarchy mode in both series and open variants. Looks to be more accessible version of the ranked thing from Splatoon 2. There is showed us the new lobby. There is features with include a test range, ghosts, friends, battle replays and sharing options, and the locker room. You can now buy items which you can use to customize your locker. There will be season customization pieces released in their catalog, and they've guaranteed at least 2 years worth of new catalogs. They've added table turf, one versus one table, or Tetris like card game. They showed off more of the Salmon Run next wave, where they'll be holding new bosses. They showed the new story mode, which is called Return of Mammalians. You can send postcards, which appear in levels and in hubs. You can buy food, which helps you in stages. There'll be a photo mode. There'll be a new recon mode. Splatnet 3 mobile app looks to be a lot more robust. Splatoon 3 will also support all previous Splatoon amiibos. There'll be three new Splatoon 3 amiibos. There'll be new content updates every 3 months post-launch. They'll be adding X-Battle and League Battle post-launch. They have confirmed there will be large-scale paid DLC to follow. They did a one more thing at the end where they unveiled the deep cut, the new TV show, The Return of Splatfest, and this time there'll be three teams which will see players playing a special tri-turf war game. There will be a Splatoon 3 Splatfest work premiere from the 27th of August at 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And finally, Splatoon 2 players will get a save data bonus in Splatoon 3. Oh my lord, Anton, that was a busy Direct.
Indeed. And what an exceptional Direct. You know, I think I speak for a few people when I say that there's a little bit of lukewarmness when looking at Splatoon 3, especially the main kind of showstopper turf war, that it just kind of looked very similar to Splatoon 2, which looked similar to Splatoon 1. However, it's very clear here that every single thing that surrounds and motivates and supports that core game mode has been improved vastly, as well as expanding other aspects of the game. And I think it's very important to note that Splatoon has always had an incredibly high sell-through compared to the consoles it's been on. You know, it was, like, I believe it sold near 10 million copies on the Wii U, on a console that sold 40 million units. And on the Nintendo Switch, it came very, very close to launch for a multiplayer game when not many people own Switches. So all of this incredible work they've done here shows me that Nintendo's really giving Splatoon its moment to finally shine. And I think this could be a very, very big title for Nintendo. One, I think the work that they've done on the Splatfest is going to be fantastic, where previously it was just kind of coming on and picking a scene and seeing if you win the lottery while you have a fun weekend while everybody's on. Now they've got new game modes to motivate people to come in. The focus on customizations, having lockers where you can basically customize it, is going to really encourage people to keep on playing. The fact that they've separated your currency on buying kind of items that improve your gameplay in terms of weapons by using Sheldon licenses, and the customization use its own separate currency now, is going to really have people investing time into getting really nice items for their characters rather than just getting new guns, but which will incentivize players to do more there. The lobby looks to be incredibly polished and kind of reminds me of what we've seen with games like PUBG and Fortnite and all the modern sway of shooters where you kind of have this social space. And unlike those ones where you're just like a blank character in a room, or not a blank character, your character in a room, you know, you have your lockers, there's a training mode where you can test out all the different weapons. They've really went above and beyond. The new campaign looks like it's borrowing all the lessons they learned from the Splatoon 2 DLC, which was a vast improvement of all the other campaigns, so it might actually have a competent campaign this time around. And then they're just throwing in miscellaneous things to flex, like table turf, and yeah, they've really went above and beyond. And it kind of reminds me of when they launched Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and I was like, wow, they've ticked every single box here. This looks like a flawless title coming our way.
I have to say, having only very briefly played, I think Splatoon 2, round at Mike's one day, I've barely ever touched this game. Table turf looks a lot of fun. Of all the modes in there, the one that I was like, ah, that's the one I want to play, was the card game, where it's basically just trying to create as... Tetris is a good description for it. Basically, you pick up cards by playing the game. Each card's got a different shape. You can then use the shape to play on this grid to cover as much grid space as you possibly can, and it's kind of the same as Turf Wars, only using a card. You've got to splat as much of the table as you possibly can your own color. That looked really good to me. I was totally taken with it. The one bit of it that I felt they could have spent more time on, weirdly, and they probably didn't because they spent quite a bit of time in the past, was on the single player campaign mode. Because when they first launched it, that was kind of what they were pegging the whole thing on, going, look, we've got a single player and it's going to be really good this time around. And this time it took up a teeny tiny little bit of the direct, and instead what they focused most of it on was the new weapons and the customization options. And in all honesty, I didn't give a monkeys about them. I would have liked to have seen a bit more about the one player. I think that would have been kind of cool. But at the same time, you don't want to give too much away because, well, that removes all the fun and unknownness. Indeed. But it was big. It was a big direct. They showed us a lot of stuff.
Yeah, what is quite incredible to see here is that it really shows how Nintendo's attitude has been shifting with this title, whereas Splatoon 1, as you mentioned, was very much like, there's a campaign and multiplayer, and then Splatoon 2 is like, okay, we're putting our focus in the multiplayer, but we've got a campaign. This one feels like they're going for games as a service. They know they're going for a proper big multiplayer this time around, that, you know, the other games had the potential, but Nintendo hadn't quite grasped yet. You know, the catalogs coming kind of every 3 months, updates every 3 months, new weapons coming every 3 months. You know, this is going to be an ongoing experience for Nintendo. The promise of large-scale paid DLC is quite intriguing because in the past that was a campaign which wasn't Splatoon's bread and butter, although the campaign they did do, the Octo expansion, was brilliant. So I wonder if the campaign's going to be episodic in the fact that they've given it its own subtitle for this game.
Maybe. Did it raise any red flags for you though when they said large-scale paid DLC and they didn't then follow up with which will be included in the Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pack Plus? I was like, what, why have they not said that?
Yeah, I am very nervous for Nintendo Switch Expansion Pass because, you know, we didn't have the Xenoblade Chronicles 3 expansion in there as well. And I think that service is going to really live or die by whether or not they're going to treat it like a Game Pass-like subscription, because I feel like where it's at, I could see people just fading off of it, or at least downgrading a tier. So, yeah, it did make me a little bit nervous there, Al.
Yeah. What I did like was a little Easter egg in there that the internet managed to find. That was just beautiful. I can't remember what point in it, but... Harmony, there's a picture of her using, what do they call it, the Nintendo Ultra Hand, which, if you don't know what the Nintendo Ultra Hand is, I'm not going to think anything less of you, because it's basically a product that Nintendo made in the 1960s, Anton.
Indeed. Basically, it's like two little handles, and then you extend it, and these, like, accordion-like arm just snaps these hands together, so... what a great reference. You know, somebody's clearly read off on their Nintendo knowledge or looked around the company museum to squeeze that one in there. And it's very charming to see Nintendo respect their heritage, not just in the video game space, but their overall heritage. I'm very excited to see when they've got the scandalous hotels that they used to run as well in the 60s featured in Splatsville.
Let's not go down that route, shall we?
Nah, let's leave it.
Let's move very quickly to turbo mode instead.
Yes.
So, Shiver from Splatoon 3 looks to be Nintendo's first large non-binary character. This has been discovered across, across the various languages. They have different, what's it looking for? Titles. Cool title, that'll do. Pokemon Go is getting a very cool 3D billboard at Shinjuku Station in Tokyo. SNK has loosely announced a new Fatal Fury is in development. However, there's no platforms or really any details available at the moment. Bandai Namco have shared the opening movie for the Pac-Man World Repack. The newest Fall Guys event is Sonic the Hedgehog themed. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2 The Sith Lords is getting a physical release, courtesy of Limited Run Games. Twitter user Unlisted Cheats discovers a hidden two-player mode in Super Punch-Out. Yes, Super Punch-Out on the SNES. River City Girls 2 has been delayed to some time after summer 2022. TikTok user Cherry Sorby has shared footage of their Waluigi-themed Hen Night. The Deofield Chronicles is getting a free demo. Metal Slug Tactics has been delayed to 2023. First for Figures has shared the large Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild Link on Horseback resin statue, and it looks amazing. Kirby Right Back At Ya anime is getting an HD remaster on Blu-ray. Shintaro Furukawa is still uncertain about Nintendo Switch production in 2023. THQ Nordic will be publishing the new South Park game by South Park Digital Studios. Platforms are unconfirmed at the moment. There's a Lil Gator beta scam going around, which is unaffiliated with Playtonic and Friends. Stay safe on that one. And lastly, there was a fire at Nintendo's HQ. No injuries, just minor property damage. Anton, there was a lot in turbo mode. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It is great to see some non-binary representation in a Nintendo title, especially considering as a Japanese company, it's a little bit harder considering where the LGBT rights stand in the nation at the time. So the fact Nintendo's taking those strides shows a great level of initiative, and they've been doing that across multiple facets, not just in the representation in their games, but how they've been working as a company in Japan, which makes me very happy that, you know, Nintendo is a company that we cover. The Doodle-Doo-Doon Kirby anime is iconic. There's some great bits in there. Sadly, just looking Japanese only at the moment, but I'm sure somebody will rip it and it will be out there on the internet for the rest of us, unless they release it here as well, which would be nice because there are subtitles for it out there in the world. And yeah, God, there's been a lot this week. The Little Gator scam is very sad to see because, you know, somebody scamming people to have beta access to Little Gator, you know, it's not really a game that people would be, I think people would trust it because it's kind of such a lighthearted game, like Grand Theft Auto 6 scam. Sure, there's some fishiness there, but Little Gator, really? But yeah, overall, there's a lot going on. It's a very exciting time to be a Nintendo fan.
Yeah, it sure is. There is so much going on. I have to say, the thing that probably got me most excited in there was the Punch-Out story. I can't believe 28 years, is it, I think, since Punch-Out came out, 1994, that now, only now, has the internet and the world realised that there was a two-player mode in there all along. All you had to do was press, as you would expect at the time, a combination of buttons on the two controllers, and hey presto, you can play Punch-Out with two people. I mean, how that never leaked, and how they've just found it now, I have no idea, but that is just mind-blowing. It's so cool.
Like, there's been a couple of times in gaming history when, like, you know, I'm thinking back to Halo 5 Guardians. You know, it's like 5 years passed and one of the devs were like, okay, I had a Mario Kart mode in there. You need to go to this level to find out. Have fun. And then people went off and tracked it down. So I'm really surprised nobody in the development team like got to a point where like, oh God, nobody's found it after 25 years. Maybe I should give them a hint.
I suspect that one person was involved in making that and they probably just snuck it into the code somewhere and just never told anyone. I've been sitting back all this time going, I wonder if anyone will ever find it, or, you know, maybe they're no longer with us. I don't know. I completely forgot. It's just bonkers. I just love that story. It makes me very, very happy. And I have to say, the 3D billboard at Shinjuku Station in Tokyo is epic. It's just huge. It's just basically just the side of the building has just a huge, big Pikachu statue and Pokemon Go in sort of 3D, the words Pokemon Go. But I would love to walk past and see that. It's so cool. Unfortunately, though, if we had it in Aberdeen, it would just be covered in seagull. Beep. all the time. You wouldn't be able to read it. Thankfully, it doesn't look like it's going to get covered in seagull beep in Tokyo.
Yeah, thankfully not. It's almost terrifying, that one. It's you know, it's really coming at you. And you know, when you're seeing like Jaws 3D, it's kind of like part of the experience. But when you're like catching your train and like a Pokemon comes at you, it's a little like, huh?
Indeed. Do you think there's anything to Shintaro Furukawa's concerns about Switch production next year?
I think he's not making promises he can't keep. I think Nintendo will have plans to get things under control, especially as it seems like the industry is starting to shuffle into a better place, if not slow. But I think he's just covering his back. And, you know, Nintendo has a rough year next year. They have a scapegoat.
Yep, they've managed that expectation nicely. Okay, well, I think that's about it for news. That just brings us around to the rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
Well, actually, it's another week we just have a rumour, and this one comes courtesy of Amazon. So, in Amazon Japan specifically, they've leaked Avatar, The Last Airbender, Quest for Balance. But we don't really know much more about it than that, because it was a listing, right?
Yeah, and sadly, we don't have support for the Wii Balance Board, so I don't know what they're making here. yeah, I'm excited to see this. You know, although not a crazy fan of the anime, the last time I remember Avatar games coming out, it was when third-party tying games were kind of rubbish. But we're kind of in a golden age right now where games are so expensive, they can't really afford to put out a bad shovelware. With exceptions, of course. So it makes me hope there's at least a modicum? A shred of quality here.
Go with modicum. Modicum is a good word. Yeah. It's an underused word.
let's add it to our lexicon.
Yeah, I've never really watched the cartoon, but I've had various friends who've enjoyed it, and I vaguely remember playing one of the games back on the Wii. I think one of my friends had it. It was all right. It was an acceptable enough game. I imagine this would be much in such the same. I think the last Avatar game that came out was actually quite good from memory. I think it got quite well reviewed. Don't imagine any of us have played it, though. But there you go. That's our rumour for the week. Is there anything else we want to talk about, Anton? No, we don't think we've dropped any reviews on YouTube this week, have we?
Not this week. Although I may drop one. Why not? Curveball. I'll throw one out. Go check it out. It might be there. It might not be.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of big titles kicking around, and actually there's one that we've reviewed that we should probably get out. I need to speak about after this. Actually, it's one thing that Louise is doing, which I think only got released 3 days ago, so it'd be good to get that out.
Indeed. Plenty to keep me busy. And if you're wanting to keep your ears busy, of course, as we mentioned, at nsukp.co.uk, best place to learn about all the things we do, all the various shows we do for our patrons and other rewards. All the videos that we do on the YouTubes are on there as well and linked there. And we are on social media, which you can get links to on that website, or you can go NSUK Podcasts and you can send us a lovely email. By us, I mean Alistair, because he knows how to read, unlike me. And that is podcast@nsukp.co.uk. Bam.
Very succinct. Most impressive. It's almost like you've been doing this for 172 episodes, Anton.
And Cell, I managed to flop various times, but you know, I'm going to blame that we don't have our incredible stewardess. I was shepherd.
I'm going to go with stewardess. That works.
You know, that's what he's up to next episode. That's where he's off to. After he's done nursing the lemurs back to health, he's off flying, globetrotting as a stewardess.
He's a busy boy. He gets up to many things. On that note, thank you very much for joining us, and cheerio.
Au revoir.